Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Orange County Library System, offering enriching programs and resources for seniors at 15 locations throughout the county, with hands-on workshops, expert-led seminars, and more. A complete list of programs is available at ocls.org/senior/events.
A hobnob and straw poll in Pine Hills as election season is underway. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Brendan Byrne. The People's Hobnob and Straw Poll, organized by the Pine Hills Community Council, brought together hundreds of people as candidates for office worked to secure their votes.
Today is so important. This is an opportunity for you, our residents, our neighbors, and our friends, to be able to connect with the individuals that want to represent you for whatever office it is that they're running for.
How Central Florida voters are deciding who to choose on their ballots, that's ahead on The Wrap, the big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these headlines. A judge has rejected State Representative Paula Stark's attempt to get on the ballot after she failed to qualify due to missing paperwork last month. Central Florida Public Media's Joe Burns has more.
Representative Paula Stark's campaign treasurer testified he gave an elections clerk the missing form about 25 minutes before the deadline, and she handed it back. The judge found he could not credit the treasurer's testimony over that of five officials with the Division of Elections. The clerks had described an expedited process as the deadline neared, in which they did not review or reject any forms. That's according to the News Service of Florida. With the St. Cloud Republican out of the race, all voters in District 47, regardless of party, will decide between two Democrats in the August 18th primary. Stark does still have 7 days to file evidence that could change the judge's mind. Joe Burns, Central Florida Public Media.
Orlando is acting on a plan to revitalize downtown. City officials celebrated the start of a new Church Street redevelopment program this week. Central Florida Public Media's Joe Mario Pedersen has more.
The historic Church Street corridor between Garland and Magnolia Avenues is getting redesigned as a festival street. The city aims to attract new small businesses and outdoor dining. Shan Rose is the commissioner of District 5, which includes downtown Orlando. She says the plan is to bring East and West Orlando neighborhoods together.
The goal is that if you can come from downtown, you can walk to Camper and back. And so really doing an investment in it and show that the property owners here and our residents, we really believe in where we're going.
Downtown Orlando has seen dozens of business closures in the last few years. The most recent notable business was The Attic, a club that operated for 16 years before it closed in May. In a social media post, the business cited a lack of local leadership as one of the reasons. Joe Mario Pedersen, Central Florida Public Media.
Storm forecasters have further downgraded predictions a little more than a month into the 2026 Atlantic hurricane season. For a season initially anticipated to be somewhat below normal, Colorado State University researchers reduced their projection for the number of named systems and the duration of activity, stating they now anticipate a well below normal season. The private meteorological firm AccuWeather also slightly reduced the range of named storms it predicted to develop in the Atlantic Basin. In both cases, the forecast is tied to moderate El Nino conditions, likely to intensify into a strong El Nino by the mid-September peak of the six-month hurricane season that began June 1st. The term El Nino refers to a warming of the ocean surface waters in the central and eastern tropical Pacific Ocean, resulting low-level surface winds that can disrupt normal weather patterns across the U.S. and globally. These stories and more on our website. Visit cfpublic.org. Winter Park Playhouse has been rebuilt from the ground up, with a grand opening slated for next week. Everything is new and improved, even beyond the stage.
When I told them that we were going to have that many restrooms, I said, I honestly think you're more excited about the toilets than the art, because they're just so excited.
Hear the whole story on Spotlight. Get it where you get this podcast. Florida's primary election is August 18th. With election season underway, Central Florida voters are deciding who to choose on their ballot. The People's Hobnob and Straw Poll, organized by the Pine Hills Community Council, brought together hundreds of people as candidates for office worked to secure their votes. Central Florida Public Media's Engage host, Sharon Stone, has this story from the event Wednesday night.
Nearly 500 people packed the main hall of the Central Florida Fairgrounds on an excessively hot and sticky Wednesday evening. Half of the hall was committed to a large stage and a couple dozen white folding chairs. The rest of the hall was filled with folding tables and campaign signs, pamphlets, and bowls of candy. The smell of jerked chicken, courtesy of the caterers, swelled from a line of silver serving dishes in the back of the room. Family-friendly club music pumped from the PA speakers. This is the 2026 People's Hobnob and Straw Poll, organized by the Pine Hills Community Council. Julian Serrano O'Neill, the council's president, takes the stage.
Today is so important. This is an opportunity for you, our residents, our neighbors, and our friends, to be able to connect with the individuals that want to represent you for whatever office it is that they're running for.
Offstage, Serrano O'Neill explained what makes the needs of the Pine Hills community unique in Central Florida.
Pine Hills is one of the largest unincorporated communities in Orange County. We are, think of it this way, if Pine Hills was to ever incorporate, we would be the largest city, only second to Orlando, right? And so as we continue to grow, whether it's economic development, revitalization, what we believe in is making sure that our residents have the resources they need to live a quality life, right? And so the politics behind something like this is so that those residents can tell these folks firsthand what's important to them, whether it's affordable housing, business development. This is the space where they will be able to share that to the candidates.
Members of the Pine Hills community were encouraged to attend this meet and greet and get face-to-face with candidates seeking offices, including judgeships, court clerks, Orange County Commission seats, and county mayor, and a lone candidate for Orlando mayor. Voters milled up and down aisles of tables, cooling themselves with hand fans emblazoned with candidate names and campaign slogans. Pine Hills resident Pam Smith explained what brought her and her friends out to the fairgrounds.
We're here because it matters to us. Voting matters to us. It really is important, especially in this election year. It is important for us to let our voices be heard. I live in Pine Hills for over 36 years now. And when I moved here, it was a very thriving community. And now it's like it's gone down to the pits. And I'm here because I want to see Pine Hills thrive. I want to see better things for Pine Hills and not the negative narrative that it is right now. So that is why I am here to vote and to make my voice be heard.
Everybody had a similar routine. Cautiously approach each table, give the campaign literature a cursory once over, then dive right in with a candidate question.
In the position that you're running for, how are you going to also continue that fight against ICE in the local community?
So I work with community organizations. So I wrote both of these bills, but 5051 Orlando is really the one that's pushing them through. We have an advocacy guild that has been doing these trips to DC. I am part of the guild, but like I have stuff back in terms of traveling because of the campaign. But that's how it is, working with the community. This isn't something that I'm trying to do by myself.
Orlando resident Cheryl Soriano is looking for a District 7 commissioner that will address the community's educational needs.
My political need is more attention to seniors, as well as educational funding for teachers, because you can't have quality education if you don't have quality teachers, and you're not going to get quality teachers if you can't pay them.
66-year-old Marta Cruz Kelly lives in Orlando. She is also very concerned about what she's seeing in the classroom.
Particularly what's happening to destroy American history. I spent 40 years as a park ranger teaching history, and I don't like to see it dismantled. So I've been going to all of these meetings to learn in detail what these candidates are going to be held accountable for. And I intend, after they get elected, to show up and remind them why I voted for them.
Maya Byfield drove in from Apopka, and she wants to be informed about the candidates running in her mother's Pine Hills district. She spoke about what she's looking for in the candidates seeking to represent that community.
How they plan to execute, what do they believe in the context of judges, are they fair? Will they treat people, especially those that look like me, especially men that look like me, will they be fair? The criminal justice system has not been fair to African Americans in the past, and I just want to make sure that they're fair. Commissioners, I want to know, do they care about the community? Are they here just to move up in the ranks, or are they going to do something? So execution is very important for me. Like, what do they plan to do?
Voters acknowledged affordability and housing as issues. nobody spoke about policies or addressed the national trends. Crime and community security were also popular topics. But for the most part, character seemed to be paramount to people in making voting decisions, as 34-year-old Ludwin Norsilis of Orlando explained.
For me, I need someone that I can feel like they are honest when they're speaking, someone that can actually sell themselves and not just sit and just let people just walk by their booth. I like to hear more in-depth about their goals. I ask someone, like, why they're running, because they just feel like they want to do something that's nice. But I feel like, tell me one particular tool or one advantage over the next candidate that you have. And some of them have told me, some of them were kind of like, overall, just what they just want to run. But I've heard some people that they want to be more technology savvy. They want to be more involved in the community, get people from all across of life for the county or wherever they're running for, which I like.
As the evening wore on, the room grew, and voters continued to engage candidates on issues, including the struggle to buy a home.
Like, how do you make ends meet? How do you find that first job out of school? How do you afford that first home so that you can begin building wealth and achieve the American dream of homeownership?
I can speak on, like, right out of college, a lot of my friends can't find jobs right away. It's like you go 4 years of school and what's going on, you know?
And so one of the things that I'm really excited about and would love to do should I be elected mayor is what I'm calling the Orange County Promise. And Osceola County does it. They call it Osceola Prospers. They guarantee every high school graduate the ability to go to a trade school, a tech school, or get an associate degree.
The night was about more than voters getting FaceTime with candidates. Throughout the evening, attendees were encouraged to cast mock ballots in a straw poll. 36 voting booths were set up in an adjacent hall, and people funneled in and out, casting their vote much the way they would on election day. Thunder rattled the roof of the main hall as lightning storms pummeled the region. Over the roar of the weather, the candidates took the stage one by one to make their pitches as voters lined up for the Caribbean fair being served. At 8 o'clock, the 44 candidates finished their four-minute pitches, and the tallies from the straw poll were read by Karen Castor-Dental, the Orange County Supervisor of Elections.
Now we're moving on to county mayor. I'm going to list the top three of the four. We'll start with Tiffany Moore Russell. She had 68%, and there was a tie for second. Stephanie Murphy and Myra Uribe both have 14%.
The straw poll is in no way an accurate predictor of the outcome of the November elections, but at this stage in the campaigns, it's a rough assessment of a candidate's notoriety with the electorate. Everybody left the Pine Hills Community Council hobnob and straw poll with something. Candidates were able to stick their thumbs in the wind, get an idea of where they stand with voters and what kind of name recognition they can expect in the coming months. And voters left with a sense of agency over their communities, hoping that the people who represent them on city councils and county commissions, in judicial courts and legislative chambers, will remember the voters who put them in their positions.
That was Central Florida Public Media's Engage host, Sharon Stone. That story was produced by Richard Copeland. That's it for the wrap this week. This podcast is produced by Central Florida Public Media with editorial assistance from News Director LaToya Dennis. I'm Brendan Byrne. This is The Wrap.